It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast as we cover the latest property news every morning on iHeartRadio. And it didn't take long for the end of our working week. Here we are on a Friday, looking forward to the weekend. Well, you know, it's not a Friday technically, it's a Thursday, but it's the equivalent of a Friday. Easter long weekend, the 28th day for March. Plenty of people just sort of waiting for this day to come. Let's go to Perth on our Thursday morning and catch up with Matthew Hughes. He is the founder and managing director of Capital Property Advisory. And good morning to you, Matthew. Welcome back to the Real Estate Breakfast. Yeah, you'd be looking forward to Easter, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Yeah, I love camping. So we're actually heading away for about 5 days, I think, over the break with some extended family and my family. We've got had quite a few birthdays early in the year, so we're all sort of celebrating together. So it should be really good.
Now, you've got a daughter, I believe, who is celebrating a birthday.
She has requested specifically that you and your glorious radio voice wish her a happy birthday. She loves listening to the podcast and she loves listening to her dad when I drive her to Kinyi. And she's asked whether you might be able to wish her a happy fourth birthday, mate.
What is her name?
Hunter.
Yeah, happy birthday to you, Hunter, turning four today. It's a big age, isn't it, turning four?
It is, yeah. We told her a couple of years ago, which seemed like a long way away at the time, that she could have a puppy when she turns four. So that's next thing on the list because she didn't forget about it.
All right. Well, let's dive into some real estate news out of Perth. And I see that the former president of the Real Estate Institute of WA, he's predicted a 20 to 30% increase in the Perth property market with prices over the next 3 years. Have you got any thoughts around that in terms of reality?
Yeah, I do. Look, he is known typically as a pretty balanced and conservative person. His original profession was as an accountant. So stereotypically, they tend to be like that. And he's a smart guy and he knows the market and he's been in it for a long time. So for him to make what I thought was a pretty bold claim, but still something, I don't disagree with him. I think it is possible that what he's saying could actually unfold over the next few years and we could see that level of additional growth, that 20 to 30% that he's talking about in one of those once in a generation super cycles that he references. So whilst it seems like a bold claim, especially on top of the growth that we've already had to this point, I agree with his sentiment that the median price here is currently undervalued, but only time will tell in terms of how much growth is left in the market. There's certainly a fair bit to come. Whether it's up to 30% remains to be seen.
Wow, yeah, it's a big one, up to 30%. Now, let's look at the supply of new homes, which is constantly a little bit of a battle in Western Australia, with plenty of challenges in 2024. And how might these challenges, do you think, impact on the housing market?
Yeah, look, we've discussed this many times, Craig, about the challenges in the building industry, and they continue to face them. High costs and long build times have both led to limited demand for new construction. So the state is currently only delivering between 4,000 and 4,500 new dwellings per quarter in terms of our capacity, which is far below the roughly 10,000 new dwellings required to accommodate the current population growth rate. So the discrepancy is largely attributed to the inability to import as many tradespeople as we have done in the past. Historically, when we've been more counter-cyclical to the East Coast and perhaps their building industry or their economy was more sluggish and ours was flourishing, we've been able to attract workers across here to fill the gaps where we needed them to meet demand. But at the moment, as you know, nationally, the East Coast cities especially, they're all going pretty well from a construction standpoint, from an economic standpoint at the moment, and that's inhibiting our ability to drag them across to WA like we might have in the past.
All right, so we are in Perth this morning, catching up with Matthew Hughes there. He certainly knows his market very well. We'll come back, we'll talk more property after this.
Every week, real estate transactions take place as the market shifts month by month. And every day, we keep you better informed and updated on The Real Estate Podcast.
Well, I mentioned today is like a Friday, the last day of the week, and the Easter break is here. But is this Easter break really here when it comes to some of the real estate people working within it? Is it going to completely shut off? There will be, of course, a lot of real estate people working over the weekend. And while there will be some people that will say, really, people are going to go to work? You can't really knock people for working when they are responsible for generating their own income within the real estate industry. And these days, of course, you've got to factor in the cost of living and the pressures that people are under. So it's little wonder that work goes on this coming weekend. Now, if you're looking for something to watch across the long weekend, Netflix has got New York Homicide. It's a documentary series that I just finished watching. And what stood out for me was the police detectives that talk about some of these historical cases and just the way that they care about the cases. The level of genuine care for victims is really what makes this series compelling to watch. So that might be something you'll be watching across this weekend, New York Homicide.
Let's explore together the power of real estate. We keep you better informed and updated. Every morning from 6 a.m. across Australia, we deliver you the latest property news, commentary and predictions from Perth to Cairns and from Melbourne to Brisbane, 7 days a week, only on The Real Estate Podcast.
And it is a Real Estate Thursday. We are in WA talking to Matthew Hughes, and also happy birthday daughter turning 4 today. Happy birthday to you, Hunter. Let's have a look at the rapid population growth. What factors have contributed to WA's growth, making it the fastest growing state in the country at the moment?
Yeah, look, there's a number of factors that have seen us go from, we were leading the country at 2.3% not that long ago. We were just above Brisbane, and then it spiked in the year through to June last year up to 3.1, and then the latest statistics from the ABS on the weekend that I saw had us at 3.3% through to September last year. In that September quarter, we saw 25,000 new people come into our state in just a quarter. So if you're assuming 2.5 people per household, that's a requirement for another 10,000 households. And obviously, we're not building anywhere near that. In terms of what's driving it, we've been in a state of positive interstate net migration for quite some time. Us and Brisbane tend to be. But we're also getting a much more significant surge in overseas migration, which we haven't typically seen in the past. And so 83% of our annual population increase throughout that period we spoke about is actually from overseas, which is probably atypical compared to our history.
Yeah, well, I guess the other side of all of this, the fact that the rapid population is there and making you the fastest growing state in the country, is that it's quite difficult, probably challenging times trying to buy for your home buyers and investors. So how challenging is that?
Extremely is probably the answer. We've got a team of about 14 or 15 people across my group of companies here, but specifically in the acquisitions team, we've got myself and two others, soon to be three. And the reality is that to do the job effectively and with integrity, which is the way that we approach it, it's almost not commercially viable. We're actually buying a similar number of properties now to when we were when it was just me on my own many years ago, but it's taking three times the manpower to execute the same task. It's just proving incredibly difficult to find and secure good property. Of course, we could make it a bit easier on ourselves and start buying in more and inferior suburbs or placing ridiculous offers like some other buyers and buyers agents do over here. But we've made the decision that we want to keep our reputation intact for the future. And we're just prepared to accept that it's going to be a difficult time for probably at least the next 2 or 3 years. And it's going to be more difficult and less profitable to do this specific job. But luckily, with the group that we have, we've got other revenue sources that can offset that. And so we have the luxury of being able to approach it this way and maintain the integrity of our advice.
Yeah, and I guess with that, you probably look at strategies in terms of just how to sort of counter these difficulties in the market and securing those. And it's all about good quality stock, isn't it, at the end of the day?
It is, yeah. And look, that's the challenging part. There's obviously stock on market, but we're very specific about where we buy. So we've had to really change the way that we approach the search and research and how we actually go about finding property and securing property. So last year, knowing that we were heading into a period where it was going to be more difficult, I actually acquired a couple of other businesses. So we bought their rent roll. So we now manage a lot more properties and we have quite a large rent roll. And through that, we have clients who often want to sell their property. And if that property suits our criteria for an investment grade purchase, we can plug in one of our buyers. They can buy that off market. The seller doesn't have to engage an agent, so they save money on marketing and selling agents' fees. And then that reflects in the negotiation because we're saving them money. Our buyer then saves some money as well. So that's one way that we're accessing some stock. But more importantly to that is we spent the last 10 years really building strong agent relationships. Even when we had all the leverage, we didn't over-leverage ourselves and we were always professional and approached things the right way. And that's really boding well for us now because we do have very strong relationships that either gets us access to properties before the public launch, which is important if we want to beat the competition to the punch, but also almost more importantly, it gives us access to additional insights in a negotiation regarding either the seller's motivations or their expectations or their desired outcomes in terms of price. And so that's been a real key to our success in terms of our strike rate. And then employing other strategies like a little bit outside the box in terms of knowing that the seller is living in the house at the moment and hasn't found a new home yet and is concerned about that, then we convince our buyers to rent it back to them, often at a discounted rate on a flexible agreement. And that allows the seller to then go out there and find themselves another rental or another property to purchase, knowing that they're not going to be displaced through that process. And so that's a great way for our buyers to stand, have their offer stand out for a reason other than price. And there's a few other creative strategies as well that we're employing, but I don't want to divulge all of our trade secrets, so I'll leave it there.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there, Matthew. Enjoy your Easter break and recharge out, of course, camping with the family, and look forward to catching you back soon.
You too, Craig. All the best, mate.
Every week, unravel the real estate market to empower your real estate knowledge.
What initiatives have governments taken to increase property density? And how do they aim to make housing more affordable, do you think?
So a great question, and it's one that we've been following very closely. So the big reform that we've recently seen is the National Planning Reform Blueprint that the Albanese government put forward. And what this does is it adds an additional 200,000 homes to the previous target of 1 million extra homes over the next 5 years. What the government has done, which is quite clever, is to incentivize the states and territories to get the ball rolling by putting $3.5 billion in incentives on the table. This is something that the Grattan Institute has recommended for a while, incentivizing the states because they really have their hand on the lever for increasing density.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia. The Real Estate Podcast.